One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Howdy, y'all, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And, of course, back from trout fishing, back from all the madness of being out of state, the waterlogged man himself, the king of flavored water, Mr. Kyle Filio Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm back from Broken Bow, Oklahoma. We had a spring break trip up there. I took the bread up there. It was my wife, my three kids, and my brother-in-law and his fiance. And we rented a cabin up there, and we
had good times.
Yeah, I've never been up there before. I've heard so many people over the years tell me about all the good trout fishing up there, and it's only like 4 hours north. I know that you had mentioned. I had a goaltender that played on my hockey team. This was years ago, and he used to drive up there and fly fish all the time. And he would always tell me how good it was, and I was like, yeah, sure it is.
It's in Oklahoma. You're like, you can't be trout fishing up there.
So we went up there, and very squatchy-looking area.
For sure.
There's a lot of Sasquatch signs everywhere, like the Sasquatch go-kart park. I mean, they just had all kinds of things. And the boys did a lot of fishing. I'm sure if you follow the show on Instagram or Facebook or anything, you saw some of the pictures of the kids with the fish, the trout they caught, rainbow trout. There's browns and rainbows up there. They only caught rainbows. I don't know why. I don't know if the browns prefer something else. They were just using salmon eggs, but they had a good time. And then me and the little brud, Luke, we had a good time. We rode some trains. We what else did we? Oh, we rented a canoe and some kayaks. Went, you know, paddling around, and
a big time was had by all.
It was fun.
That's
a lot
awesome.
Of late nights sitting up by the campfire and imbibing, and
then going hard on the s'mores.
Going hard on the s'mores, and actually, kind of inspired today's episode. I mean, today's show, I'm going to be talking about scary things that happen to people while camping.
And what you're not going to believe, folks, is we are all very well hydrated in a studio today. You will not believe. I have four different waters in front of me. I have a grape-flavored water, because now Kyle and I are on this quest. We're on this quest of flavored waters that we're trying. So I have these actually just regular waters that come flavored, mandarin orange and grape. Then I have a lime
and LaCroix. Who makes the mandarin orange and the grape?
What is this?
Nestle.
Nestle. All right.
Yeah.
So then, and what is this one here that you handed me? A Perrier?
Yeah, this is a
strawberry water?
Yeah, this is a flavored.
This is a sparkling.
Perrier.
Yeah. And then, of course, my old standby, some lime LaCroix. So there's more water in here. And we've said before, it's not a great idea around all these electronics, but we're still doing
it's
it.
It's quite tasty.
I
like this flavored mineral water. My quest is I'm trying to find the best one.
Once we find it, then we're going to have to go to those powders and drops and start trying those in plain water till we narrow that down too.
I wonder if you mix some of that into one of these.
You can't do that.
Why not?
You just can't do that. It's too much.
I think the grape one, the Nestle water that's grape flavored, I think it tastes like watered down Kool-Aid. And then, like you said, the orange one, the mandarin orange, I think that tastes like Tang.
It tastes like a less so strong potent Tang.
Do they make Tang still?
I bet they do.
I used to love that as a kid.
You know, the astronauts took it to space.
That's why I loved
it. You remember when it used to come in that collapsible, like, tub, like you could smash it down and all? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And I used to be like, I think my aunt one time went to NASA down to Houston. And
she bring you that ice cream
she
back?
She brought me back some of that ice cream, and I was like, ugh. It's like eating chalk. I just assume not eat it.
They still make and sell that stuff. When I went to the Johnson Space Center, it's still down there.
I don't care.
Probably the same one that when your aunt brought you back.
I don't care. Yeah, probably right. It probably was manufactured then.
Yeah, I don't need ice cream that bad.
Well, here's the thing. There's certain things there's just no substitute for. Mm-hmm. That is not a substitute for real ice cream.
No.
It's just not. It falls so short that it's not even worth your time.
You put it in your mouth, and it's like warm ice cream that you got to roll around.
No, it's not even
and,
like ice cream.
You know what it is? It's like, just you might as well just throw powdered milk in your mouth. That's all it is. Just a spoonful of powdered milk.
I'm like, who are you trying to fool? You're like, well, you know, it's almost like ice cream. You're like, no.
No. No.
So we can invent
That's like
a
saying
machine.
A soy burger is almost like a cheeseburger. No, it's not.
It's not. I've had them. They'll be like turkey bacon. It's almost as good.
No.
You taste it, you're like, no, it's not.
I refuse to eat turkey bacon.
You've tried it though, right?
Yes. No.
You're like, no, it's not.
You can't fool me because it's in the same shape.
Even if you told me I would live 4 years longer if I ate turkey bacon instead of real bacon, I'm not taking that deal. I'm like, no.
It's the 4 years at the end. I don't want that.
I love bacon.
Yeah.
It tastes too good.
Right?
I'm okay with expiring four years.
You know what? There's no free rides. I'll take it.
Back to the space ice cream real quick. So we can invent a vehicle that can go into low Earth orbit and all this other stuff. We can't figure out how to like keep ice cream refrigerated.
They can't put a cooler in there that you can't
that's what
just
saying.
Like drop some dry ice in it.
That's impossible.
They didn't have igloos or they just
it's already cold
the
up there.
Right?
It's already cold.
You can't put it outside.
I mean, I was just on a Virgin Airline flight not too long ago, and even just cruising at like 30,000 feet, it's like 42 below zero up there. How cold is it, you know, in low Earth orbit?
Yeah.
You'd have to stop. Making ice cream should not be a problem.
You think they're going to make it in those inflatable bounce houses?
Ones that Bigelow's making?
Yeah.
No. If you're not a member of Elite, shame on you. But on the last Elite show, we were talking about how the Bigelow's make these inflatable space homes, space hotels.
Yeah.
As early as 2019.
Yeah, I'm not down with that.
I'm not down with that.
They're inflatable. Get out of here with the inflatable stuff in space.
You know what else I'm not down with? Werewolves.
Yeah, nobody's down with werewolves at all. Well, something that's got a wolf head. Yeah, you bring that up. We were talking about it a little bit. All right, folks, this is what's going on. Of course, it's some cryptozoology news. It's about a werewolf that was seen in New York State. There's a New York resident in Oneida, New York, that says that they spotted a humanoid with a wolf head. So instantly, I'm like, oh, we got a dog, man.
That's right.
Now, this is a Native American, says some Oneida, 16 years old. Now, this fella. Now, first of all, I don't know why I take more credence when it's from a Native American.
I'm the same way.
I have no idea why.
I'm the same way. I know, is it, I don't know what you even call it, but like when a sighting is seen by a police officer, you're like, oh, yeah, I give more credence.
Yeah.
As if there's not some creeps that are police officers.
Like there's not any liars in the Native American community. I'm like, come on, man.
For whatever reason, I don't know what it is, but like if somebody's going to give me a hunting tip and it happens to be a Native American, I give it more credit. I'm like, it makes more sense.
Anything that has to do with the outdoors or paranormal, if you're Native American, you can probably sell me on it real easy.
It's just like if a fat Italian guy's telling me how to make a sausage and pepper sandwich versus just like a skinny white dude from Austin, I'm like, no, I'm taking his advice. I don't know why. I have no reason. I don't know either one of you.
I don't know why.
I don't think you're the only one. I don't think I'm the only one that feels that way. I think everybody does. They don't say it because it hurts their feelings.
Probably we shouldn't probably be saying it, but we do.
I'm just being honest, folks.
Okay, anyhow, this Native American boy now was talking about all this, says, hey, look, said that he was on his neighbor's property, and he was just out gathering wild berries back last summer, 2017, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he said when he come, and it's like 4:30 in the afternoon, he says he come upon this. This is what he says. He said, I had found some berries. Now, before I go any further, those that always, we always talk about missing 411. You remember they always talk about picking berries.
It has a lot to do with it. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot about that. There's a lot of sightings where people are messing with berries.
And they just go missing. So he said, I had found some berries and was picking through them. And he said, when I heard what sounded like several branches break nearby, he said, so I went to investigate the noise, which most of us would be like, I wonder what that is, you know, and you go kicking over there. He says, that's whenever he clearly observed this creature. And then it boom, decided to take off. He said, I didn't think anymore at all. He said, I started walking up the hill slowly. I heard it approaching me. So I took off. So he's like, I see it. Turn to start going, and it starts coming towards him.
Mm.
Yeah, so he's like, ooh, I got to take off. So he started sprinting, you know, right? Says he gets to his neighbor's, got an open field there. And he said, when I got out into the opening, like out of the trees, out of the brush, he said, when I got out of there, that's when it stopped. Like it stopped in the tree line and just saw him out in the open. And he said, what I saw was about 7 foot tall. He said it had white and gray fur on its cheeks, hands, and neck. So it's humanoid. He said it is. This is another thing that he said, quoted saying, it had bright blue eyes. So blue glowing eyes. He said it looked more human than wolf, but I noticed it had claws on its hands, 2 to 3 inches long. Now, he said he's also spotted UFOs every now and again in this area, but he goes on to say, and this is what brought it up, being Native American, you hear stories of men with the ability to shift into any animal, but that this thing legitly scared me. Says, I haven't been back to that trail ever since, and I haven't told this story to anybody. So for almost a year now, after he saw it and had that, he's like, man, I'm not going back over there to that whole deal. So it always brings out the idea of a skinwalker, of a shaman.
Yeah.
What was that? You know, you don't know, but a 7 foot tall, blue eyed wolf man.
Man, that's terrifying.
But see, even that, it doesn't fit the same criteria as Dogman as it does fit some of the skinwalker stories.
That's correct. Yeah. I love those stories.
The whole deal with the berries, man, it always gets me to thinking. I'm like, I don't know about this.
Well, and one of my favorite skinwalker stories is the one that old man told your dad. That I remember you telling me as a kid.
Yeah.
The old woman.
The old woman and the coyote, and the guy shoots the white coyote or whatnot.
And then the woman shows up gunshot.
And then he finds her shot in the house.
I wish I knew which episode that was on. I could tell people to go back to listen to that story.
That's a very interesting story. And like I said, and of course, that old fella that told the story to us when we were there, he passed away a few years ago. But I mean, he was just an old no-nonsense. I mean, that's the way the story that he was told, you know, so this whole thing. So it's an unsettling, and it does make you think.
Yeah.
And so maybe some of the sightings that we're seeing are more skinwalker-esque.
Yeah, maybe. And speaking of podcasts, I just was thought of this. Real quick, from time to time, me and Cam like to recommend other podcasts that we think you listeners would enjoy. So we've got one for you, and I want you guys to go over and check it out. Now, we've mentioned them before, but I'm going to tell you again. It's called Unexplained Mysteries, and every week the hosts explore the greatest mysteries of both the past and present. And that's what I like about it. From the, you know, whether it's the building of Stonehenge, whether it's the painting of Mona Lisa, there may not always be a simple answer or explanation to these stories, but that doesn't mean there's no explanation at all. And what I really like is the host, and they use a whole team of researchers. They do a fantastic job of digging deep, you know, to investigate some of the Earth's greatest mysteries. Each episode uses captivating storytelling to take you on a journey. And what I like is it makes you feel like you're actually there when they're doing the storytelling, when you're listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do a similar thing on this show with the sound effects and the background music on some of the episodes we do. And you can close your eyes almost if you're laying in bed or in a hammock or something. And you feel like you're transported to that time. And that's one of my favorite things about this podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I'm on board with you 100%. You check it out. Like right now, there's episodes about Stonehenge. Like Kyle touched on, they talk about the Mona Lisa. There's also a great one about the cocaine grandmother, Griselda Blanco.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know who she is, she's probably only like the most ruthless drug trafficking grandmother ever. Like worse than Pablo Escobar, worse than El Chapo. Like, it is an amazing episode. It's great. It's so much fun. So, folks, if you go over to iTunes, to Apple Podcast, and we talked about, I guess it used to be iTunes. It's Apple Podcast.
That's right, yeah.
You can go to Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn, wherever y'all find it. Like, wherever you find us, you'll find them. And you search up Unexplained Mysteries. Again, like I'm telling you, Unexplained Mysteries. Or you can go to parcast.com/unexplained. You can start listening to them. That's Parcast, like P-A-R-P-A-R-C-A-S-T, Parcast. .com/unexplained. That's where you can find them or search them up, but I urge you to do so. They're a great show.
Yeah, it's a fantastic show. But moving on with the news, check this out. This comes from Phantoms and Monsters. Lawn posted this. It's pretty interesting. It's about somebody who thinks they saw a real life dragon. The writer writes in and
whoa,
says,
whoa, whoa, whoa. Like big dragon, like dragon.
Yeah, like Vermifax. Yes,
ooh,
sir.
Ooh, ooh. All right, lay it on me.
The person wrote in and said, since you are all into the strange and paranormal, I'd like to tell you about something I witnessed about 6 years ago down in Central Florida. I was staying with some friends and always go out every night to check on the evening sky. I went out on this one night and looked up to see something that made me look away and rub my eyes. It was so amazing. But when I looked back, it was still there. Where I stood on the dark driveway, the moon was directly overhead, and this thing was circling around it in a clockwise direction, at least from my perspective, where what looked like were flying dragons. Now, from the languid swoop of their wings, they had to be really enormous. They were all black, silhouetted with the moon above them, and I could see no colors or any details. Then I realized that above them were dozens and dozens of tiers of more flying dragons, all circling in the same direction. There were easily over 100 of those dreadful-looking beings, which I believe were reptilians, as the royal ones have enormous wings. I estimate that the lowest one were approximately 500 feet above me, though it's difficult to say exactly. It was dark, and I began to wonder if they could see me down here, just standing there watching them, which was not a very comforting thought. I wanted to run to go get my friends to see all of this, but I was afraid of what I might miss. I then noticed to the right of them an enormous black, circular-looking craft, slowly and silently approaching the creatures. It was easily a dozen times the width of the moon, and was all around its rim was a black, curling, wispy mist, which I thought must be some kind of cloaking device. Very slowly, the craft crept closer and closer to the circling beings until it had completely obscured them, as well as the moon. It never stopped or slowed down and remained totally silent. And after it cleared the place where the dragons flew, the sky was empty, save for the gibbous moon and the cold stars. As I watched it move off into the black night, I realized it could never be seen, being so quiet and hidden. My theory about what had happened is, you know how when people are out boating and they will sometimes jump into the water for a refreshing swim? Well, I believe that the reptilians had left their craft to stretch those terrible wings and were circling there, waiting for it to catch up with them so they could get back on board. Now, that's just my theory, because who the hell knows what wicked mischief they'd really been up to up there. I told my friends what I had seen, and being the skeptics that they are, they said it was probably bats or even birds, but I know what bats and birds look like, and what I saw was something I'd never seen before or since. For days after that event, I worried they might return to do some harm to me, you know, for spying on them. And it's a creepy feeling to think what might be there in the black night sky, just out of our sight. Thanks for letting me tell my experience, and keep trekking into the mystic. KL. So, it's a strange story. What, we talk about it all the time, what could someone mistaken for giant dragons, 100 of them, circling and flying around and then getting back into a craft of some kind? Is, you know, as funny as it sounds, is their theory correct? Could that, you know, something resembling a dragon actually be the extraterrestrials? Could that be a pet? And it's kind of like just letting your dog use the bathroom?
Well, first of all, he lost me on the fact of people talking about boating and just taking a refreshing dip, jumping in the lake. I don't even know what he's talking about on that one. Like, that's not happening over here, playa.
Yeah, I forgot about you and your fear of water.
But like you said, we always talk about, what could you mistaken that for?
Yeah, I don't know.
And why would they take the form of a dragon? Does that explain what people used to report as seeing dragons in the sky?
Maybe.
You know, what, 1,000 years ago or what? I mean, well, who knows?
It's funny. There's lots of cultures, you know, whether it's Chinese, Japanese, whether it's English, Nordics and stuff, all have these legends of dragons. Makes you wonder, were there really dragons? Were the dragons the leftovers of dinosaurs? Or were crafts coming and visiting the planet which had dragons on board? I don't know. Yeah. Interesting story.
Yeah.
What caught my eye is we've been reporting on so many things being seen flying in and around the city of Chicago, and then we started branching off into other places in the United States, down to Florida, Minnesota, Indiana, you know, of these bat-winged creatures. You know, people call it the Mothman or the Jeepers Creepers or whatever you want to refer to it, a flying humanoid with bat-like wings. And so I saw this as something different that was seen flying as of an actual dragon. But speaking of that, you said that there's been even more sightings of a winged being.
We're going to hit out to Illinois.
Zion, we're back in Illinois again.
Yeah, yeah. Manuel Navarrete at the UFO Clearinghouse was actually talking about a giant red-eyed human bat. Yeah, human bat. This is what the fella states, not Manuel. The fella that he took this statement from says, I was driving home on Route 94, headed back home. Said I pulled into the TA truck stop to get something to drink and something to eat before finishing my trip home. It was about 11:30 p.m. Now, this is on February 15th of this year, of 2018. So about 11:30 that night. He said, so I left the store and hopped in my car. And he says, as I was pulling out of the parking lot to get back onto the interstate, I noticed what looks like, to me, a large person just standing to the side of the road. Goes on to say that this thing looks right at me with very bright red eyes and then opened a huge pair of wings and started to fly off like some kind of big bat. Said, now this whole damn thing took less than 5 seconds, but that I know what I saw, and it looked like a giant skinny man with a large pair of wings and red eyes. Said, I'm not sure what to tell you what it was, but I can assure you that it's something that I've never even seen before. He's like, I've never even seen this. And they point out, not even on the Discovery Channel have I ever seen anything like this. So Manuel starts adding this, that Manuel went and talked to the witness. And the witness lives in Gurnee, Illinois, and says, 37-year-old male, and works in Racine, Wisconsin, and said that works as an industrial welder and has worked at this same place for 21 years. So that he takes this route 5 to 6 times a week and has stopped at this truck stop multiple times. So it's not like this was a new place. Maybe there was something new you saw. Maybe it was some sort of gimmick. No, this has been the route this dude has taken for years. All right.
Yeah.
Years. So you're talking about for 21 years. So since he was 16, he's been going here and has never seen anything like he had seen it right there. Said he only spent about 10 minutes inside the store when he got there. And when he hopped out, there it was. And we're not even talking like the headlights hit it. So it's not like it was reflecting. Like, he could see it standing over there, I guess probably in the light pollution as it's thrown out from the truck stop.
Yeah, makes
That's
sense.
When he saw it. And he was like, huh. Now, he did say that when he first laid eyes on it, it appeared to be hunched over a little bit, kind of like not, you know, sitting down, but hunched over. And he says that's whenever it looked up at him and then, you know, made like not really a complete upright stance, but kind of in one motion, the wings come up.
Yeah.
Like you see a bird feeding, and then as you kind of surprise it, it head up. Boom. And that's the way he said that it looked. He said, man, it scared the hell out of the guy that he saw it. He's like, man, I've got no answer for this. No answer at all. But he said it did, just in a matter of seconds, gone. He said the thing that got him the most was he was like, I would have thought somebody else would have seen it. Because he said, even at this time, the truck stop's busy. And Manuel says the guy was adamant about, man, you would think that other people would see it. So I'm hoping that this guy went back to the truck store. Of course, how would you go back and even make small talk to be like, anybody else see that?
Well, and why are so many people seeing this thing now? And I wonder about it oftentimes. We've talked about it before, whether you're like a people that's a medium or more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe no one else at the truck stop saw it because they couldn't see it. Like maybe only certain people are able to see this thing, whatever it is. And it's not really physical there or physically there. I don't know how to word it, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And I'm also, you know, are we experiencing right now a giant wave? And years from now, people are going to look back to 2016 through 2019 and say that was one of the biggest flaps of flying humanoids, flying bat-winged creatures that we've ever had. I don't know. But it does seem odd. You know, so I'm trying to think of a way to word this. For so many of the stories that we do on this show, so many of them often feel like the greatest ones happened a long time ago. Where it's whenever it's a UFO story or a cryptid. I don't know. For some reason, when you find a really good one, it's like, well, it happened in 1930 near Mount Shasta. Or, you know, it happened in New Mexico in 1947. Right now, every week, there's almost a new sighting in and around Illinois, Indiana, Pennsylvania. What in the world are all these people seeing?
Batman flap is what we're dealing with. The Mothman, the flying humanoid flap in this time, like we've talked about in the past, is this is going to be looked back in 20 or 30 years.
I think so.
But what the saddest thing to me right now is we have the ability to really research it technologically, advancement-wise, more than ever before.
Well, that's,
but who's doing it? Who's doing it? Other than just collecting the stories, is there anybody out there really going, man, we need to be all through the town? You know, we need to,
I want to know.
I'm lost at how to go about that.
I want to know if we're being trolled. Like, these are literally everybody just making it up. Or is it really happening? I know that Manuel is looking into it. I know Lon Strickler's looking into it. But I wish we could go, like, find that truck stop. Go look at security tape. I want to see it. It should be on the tape. Or all the other sightings that's happening in the little villages, Chicago, you know, not Chicago, but whatever the little village is called.
You're right. There's got to be some kind of camera somewhere.
Security somewhere that would have at least an inkling of an image of something. Yeah. Or, like I talked about, maybe he can only see it. Is it going to look like he's shocked and looking at something, but you can't see it on the film? I don't know.
It's like the movie Frailty, when Matthew McConaughey is walking around and
I forgot about that movie.
It messes up, like it doesn't show him.
Yeah, that's a pretty good movie.
I remember going to see that in the movies. Like, nobody even knew what it was. I remember going, because I'm a, you know, rest easy, Mr. Bill Paxton. But I think Bill Paxton was a great actor. I really liked the guy. He was awesome. And then when I went and watched him in that movie, it was even better.
Yeah,
it's a great, but yeah, that's the way it always makes me think of whenever video messes up, is it's like something, what is going on with that? It makes people forget what he looks like, you know, the whole thing. So yeah, maybe, how crazy would it be to find a video of like somebody, we know that was the account and that was the person and he's seeing it, but there's nothing there, but the dude's reacting like it's there.
Yeah, well, you've seen those videos of like closed circuit TV where like it shows a person working in like a warehouse and then they just put down what they're doing, turn, walk out. And like they're never seen
again.
Yeah. They're found that they're dead, and they have it on film. Maybe one of these beings is luring them.
Yeah,
taking control.
That's disturbing to even think that that's a thing.
It makes me think about what's the Japanese cryptid that's kind of like that, where people talked about being on the beach and they think that they see a child drowning, and they're lured into the sea.
I've talked about it and I can't remember the name of it now.
I know there's so many. Things, but speaking of that, like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, we've been on a big camping trip for spring break with the kids, and of course, sitting around the campfire while camping, you know, my kids, they always tell me that they have, you know, the best dad and best uncle because they have the greatest storytellers, and of course, they're just being my kids and they enjoy it, but you know, some people think that me and Cam can really tell good stories, so naturally, when you're sitting around a campfire, they're like, "Dad, tell me a story. You know, what have you learned on the show?" And so I started telling them a couple stories, and what it reminded me of is while I was doing it, it gave me, that's something I wanted to do on today's show. So I'm gonna, after the break, I'm gonna be discussing some stories of creepy things that happen to people while camping. So stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Something in our minds will always
So last week, as I mentioned at the top of the show, me and my kids were camping up in Broken Bow, Oklahoma. One of my boys wanted me to tell them some scary stories, you know, while we were sitting around the campfire. So I did. But on my drive home, it's about a 4-hour drive from Broken Bow to Weatherford, Texas. Now there is a Weatherford, Oklahoma. Everyone in the expedition that I was driving was asleep. And I didn't mind, but it was precisely at that time I started reflecting on our recent trip, and I started to think about other scary encounters people have had while out camping in the great outdoors. I said to myself, that would make a great podcast. So, when I got home, unloaded the truck, unloaded the kids and my wife. Later that evening, I started looking through some books I have, as well as some searches on the internet, and a thorough search of stories sent to us by listeners who've sent their stuff in over the years. So today, I've selected a few. Let's begin. This first story was about a guy and his father who were out hunting, and they had a very unusual encounter. It says, my dad and I would occasionally go hunting together when I was a kid. I was 14 years old, and my dad knew a guy who owned what seemed to be half of Georgia. I mean, the amount of property this guy owned, was ridiculous. He let people hunt out there if he trusted you, and he'd let you camp out there for a couple of nights if you wanted. He'd always make sure we had a way to call for help, though before we did it. I loved camping out there more than I did just going hunting or fishing. I loved to be out there for hours and hours before having to come home. I liked the woodsman feel, you know, the way it feels to live out in the woods. We woke up early one morning and hiked into the woods. It was still dark when we got to our tree stand. We didn't see or hear anything, not even the birds. I remember my dad commenting on it, and looking back, it should have been a sign. Frustrated, we packed up to look for a spot to camp, and we would set up again later that evening. My dad suggested that we go deeper into the woods to better our chances of seeing something, so that's what we did. We hiked for a few hours. We found a clearing, set up a small camp, and got settled in and passed the time freaking ourselves out by talking about Bigfoot and other woodland creatures. We hiked a ways, away from camp, set up a new blind, and began to wait. Again, nothing. No sounds, no birds, nothing. We get back to our tent, and it's been pulled up and laid flat. Not in a neat way, but it's just kind of laying there. We thought it was the wind or something, and we didn't put it upright, and it probably just collapsed on its own. We didn't think much of it at the time. Since we didn't see or even hear anything all day, we decided to leave the following day and try again later that week. Well, we settled in for the night. We built a really small fire and just relaxed. Again, not even birds were making a sound. I remember thinking how odd it was to be this deep into the woods and only hear one or two birds the entire trip. Oh well, maybe we were making too much noise and scared everything off, I thought. We go to sleep soon after settling in. Now, it's pitch black. It's the middle of the night. And for whatever reason, I woke up. I just tried to go back to sleep. I'm in that half-asleep, half-awake phase when I hear what sounds like laughter. I kind of jolt awake, but don't hear it anymore. So, I figured I must have been dreaming. I laid back down, and a few minutes later, I heard it again. It continues and gets pretty loud. I wake up again, but this time, I notice that my dad is up too. He whispers and asks, did you hear that? And this is when my heart dropped. He heard the laughing too. That means it wasn't a dream. We heard it again, but it was faint. And now that I'm actually awake, I'm paying very close attention to it. It sounded kind of like several people laughing in unison. It wasn't cackling or hysterical laughter, but just the kind of normal laughter. It didn't last but maybe 5 or 6 long seconds. I've never felt that much fear before in my entire life. We didn't hear it anymore after that, but needless to say, we didn't get any more sleep either. We packed up as soon as the sun came up and got out of there. My dad was convinced someone had followed us and was playing a prank on us. That's why we didn't see anything. He said while we were in this tree stand and that blind we were hunting in, they were scaring all the wildlife off with their unmasked scent and being on the ground. He says this, but he didn't go back out there for over a month. When he did finally go back, he mentioned it to the guy who owned the property. He wouldn't let my dad hunt there anymore. He didn't say why either. My dad thinks the guy thought my dad was crazy, or something like that. I guess it is possible for someone to have followed us out there. They must be legit ninjas, though, because we found out before daybreak. Nobody but the owner was parked out there that morning. There were dead leaves and sticks everywhere, and when they did decide to laugh, it came from different spots. I never heard a single footstep. Sorry if it wasn't really what you're looking for, but to me it's one of my best stories, even if no one believes me. It still gives me goosebumps to think about it. Someone or something knocked our tent down. I know that for sure now. I don't know if it was a person, a group of people, or something else. Now this next one comes from a firefighter, a wildland firefighter with the Forest Service. Kind of hits home since my brother's also a fireman. Now the guy claims that this isn't exactly his story, but it's a story he heard from an old supervisor of his, and he believes this guy completely. He's been in a lot of bad situations with this guy over the years, and he's not one to make up stories. He says the setting is 2004 or so, Hell's Canyon area of Middle Idaho. His crew had been working all day on an emerging incident and were going to be working through the night as well. Being the assistant superintendent of the crew, which basically means second in charge effectively, he was out ahead scouting on an ATV or something like that. He was working his way down a logging road that clearly had not been used in some time when a bobcat or lynx, it's been a few years since I've heard the story so I don't quite remember, but one of the two appeared in the middle of the road, but it doesn't run away as they usually would. This thing stands there for a good 10 seconds, screams at him, and then scampers up a tree not 5 feet off the road. Now, he finds this odd, but not particularly unsettling. Just a half mile or so down the road, he finds a small cabin. Also, pretty odd, as this is federal land, and there's no private structures allowed to be built up here. Upon investigation, all the windows had been boarded shut tight, and someone had done a good job of doing so. The door now had been punched out and secured to a hole drilled into the log frame by a chain, so clearly, someone did not want anything getting in or out. Peering through the hole in the door, he can see that everything in the house is upset. This has him kind of unsettled, so he hopped on his ATV and heads back up the road. Well, here's where it gets really interesting. Right where the bobcat had been, there stands a Native American woman in a badly tattered nightgown and was barefooted, just standing there. He yells at her. He asks her if she needs help. She just screamed at him, the same scream as the cat from before, and climbs right up the tree, faster than any human has a right to be climbing. Obviously, he got out of there as fast as he could, unsure of who or what he just saw. He asks a local guy about the cabin, after asking around a little, and a local Native American hears them talking and informs them that what they saw was a pumawaw. Excuse the likely butchering spelling. In effect, what they saw was a skin changer, a skin walker, or a warg. Now, I know you probably wouldn't believe this story, as I've told many over the years and none of them seem to believe me, but this was a serious man, and that he did not mess around with many things. He was dead serious the two times I've heard him tell it, and I 100% believe he saw what he claims he saw. This next person reminds me of the Albert Ottsman story. You know, the one where the guy has a run-in with Sasquatch who kidnapped him and kept him for a couple days. This one is very similar. And if real, it's one heck of a story. It's one thing to play with the idea that Bigfoot might exist. It is a whole nother to have not just one, but two of them drag your tent with you in it. I know it sounds extraordinary, and it was, to tell you the truth, but it is what happened that spring break to me in Northern California. I thought at the time, I was in mortal danger. Here is my encounter. I hope it keeps you safe. It was in the late 1990s, and I was attending UC Davis at the time. If you do not know, Davis is located southwest of Sacramento, California, about 20 minutes at the most, given good traffic. Originally, however, I'm from Wairika, born and raised. Back then, I was what you would call a tree-hugging hippie. The earth is my mother druid, college girl. And I mean that in a good way. Today, well, I'm the mother of two, a real upper-middle-class entrepreneur out of Chico, California. A real 180, to tell you the truth. What is funny, though, when I think back to that trip, were the signs that even a seasoned camper like myself, who loved to spend time in the woods, should have noticed. But for whatever reason, I didn't. I still camp with my family today. The chances of an encounter like that again would be astronomical at best. Eventually, I got past the fear over time. However, I am still cautious, especially with my kids while enjoying the outdoors. My spring breaks, back then, were different than most of my classmates. While they opted for Cancun or San Diego, and some even Florida, I enjoyed my backyard, the Pacific Northwest, especially along the Klamath River, not far from where I'm from, in Wairika. Now that spring, my third year in college to be exact, I would head home for 4 nights of camping and a couple of nights spent with mom and dad for good measure. There's a little campground not too far away from Wairika, out near Scott Bar. But for now, I will keep the name of the exact site to itself. I got to take off almost a whole day early before almost everyone else did, and my class load that day before spring break was basically non-existent. So, I packed up some clothes and took the few hours or so ride back home to see mom and dad before I would head out camping for most of that week. I decided to go ahead and stay that first night with my parents and then head off in the next morning to the campground. Besides, after that long drive, the extra 45 minutes driving to a campground was not something I wanted to do. Besides, it's not like I had reservations or anything. The campsite was first come, first serve. So, my mom and dad were their typical, "we've not seen you in forever" selves that evening. And of course, dad had all my camping gear ready for me to load up laying on the inside of the garage. I miss my dad. He was a great guy and a great planner. I was a planner too. The only thing I was not was apparently not in tune to the signs that would be around me while camping. I mean, seriously, I wish I had my mother's intuition instead of the planner thing at that time. Either way, it's over and gone. A scary memory put away in the back of the sock drawer and almost all but forgotten today. But there were signs, little things, that I would later come to see as blatant signs of predators about in the woods around me. I was apparently just oblivious to it, or simply was not familiar with this type of predator, which I was not at the time. Usually, though, I'm really good out in the backcountry, or bush if you will. I have been on my own out there many times, more than I could count. Okay, maybe not that much, but you get what I mean. Maybe it was because of all the studying I had been doing, and I brought some reading with me to catch up on. That made me simply miss it all. I don't know. Either way, I should have seen the signs, but I didn't. Well, I woke up the next morning at my parents' house with some of my dad's favorite coffee waiting for me, plus a short stack of mom's pancakes ready to go. I ate, said my goodbyes, and was on the road again, but this time not for hours, actually less than an hour to be sure. Oh, and by the way, I still visit the campgrounds with my family today to fish. However, we do not camp there, ever. Well, I unloaded my tent, my fishing gear, and of course my bedding, the ice chest, and my favorite old camping chair. And yes, a couple of large books on American history and a biographical study on Martin Luther King Jr. I gathered some wood first and then set up my tent. After all that, the morning was halfway over, so I figured I would fish for a while before I would take an afternoon hike down the river and back. I made my third or fourth cast. I remember watching as 4 or 5 day hikers passed by along the trail on the opposite side of the river. It was a small trail. I remember that wrapped around the mountain just northwest of the campgrounds and back down towards the river. From there, you could continue or you could turn around and head back. Either way, that trek would take them a couple of hours or so just to get there and back to where I was watching them disappear into the forest ahead of them. I kept casting for a bit. You see, I was fly fishing. And by the way, this was something new for me at the time. No joke. I took a course on it at school. Seriously, you can take a course on fly fishing at school. I was getting better with every cast, I thought. And by the umpteenth cast, sure enough, I had a fish on. While I was a little hippie-ish, I still was a meat eater, and I loved trout and salmon. I reeled it in. I took the hook out and measured the thing. It was a perfect 13 inches, just enough for dinner that night, I thought. At that moment, I heard the hikers coming back up the trail. Now, they should have been gone for at least a couple of hours, but there they were, and they seemed to be in a hurry, too. Personally, at the time, I was hoping they were okay, and they seemed to be. However, they kept looking back behind them as they were now practically fitness walking back up that trail. They were too far away to ask them anything or even say anything. Then again, they were soon out of sight, but not before they came to a complete stop and stood looking back towards the forest from which they came. Once they were gone, though, everything was pretty quiet. As for the rest of the afternoon, just some rafters here and there, checking out this fly fishing college girl as they floated by was all. I would only be here less than 48 hours before I would leave in a rush, and I believe it all started when I saw the hikers in retreat. Eventually, I would come to understand that I believe they were scared off by a Bigfoot earlier that day. Anyways, I returned from my short walk down the river and took out the two trout I ended up catching earlier and started cooking them. The sun was then setting below the horizon of the mountains, which made it seem a little darker than it should be around that time. At first, I thought it was just some loud cracks from the fire that was making the noise. My back was turned to it as I fixed up my bedding in the tent and while the foil-wrapped trout cooked over the fire. It was not until I came out of the tent and heard it again that I figured out it was a clacking sound coming from just across the river. It sounded like two rocks being hit together. Personally, at the time, however, I figured it was a woodpecker or some bird crackling something open against a rock. At least, I did at first. But it continued for about an hour. Every few minutes or so, I could hear the clacking of what I started to believe, were rocks being hit together. I walked down to the river, which was maybe 15 yards away from my campsite, picked up two stones, and hit them together. That was the same sound I heard from across the river. I just knew it. After I had done that, the clacking from across the river stopped. I thought to myself, what hits rocks together other than a person? So that was it. Someone must have been hiking along, more like a couple of people or more, and using the sound of clacking rocks to either keep contact with each other, or they were simply clacking them together for some other reason. I could not see anyone, as it was too dark. I didn't see any flashlights, no headlamps, nothing. But that was the reason for the sound, was at that time, I knew it. Looking back now, and after reading up on the subject of Bigfoot, I know much better. The only other thing I remember from that night were the crickets. They would start, then stop. Start again from time to time. Of course, they did not make me nervous, as that is usual. And that is usually a telltale sign of an animal lurking around, you know, a predator or something. I've been camping many times, so I was used to this type of thing. A bobcat, or perhaps a coyote, maybe even a skunk or possum. You know, it's pretty normal. However, I was not that nervous. I even thought it could be a mountain lion, or even perhaps a black bear. But who would have thought it could be a 500-plus pound or 8-foot-tall monster? I know I wasn't at that time. So I wasn't that scared. The crickets came, and the crickets went. It was not until near midnight that they came and seemed to stay. I then put the book down and headed off to bed. And of course, to keep wild animals at bay, I played the radio low throughout the night. Besides, I always fell asleep with the radio playing in the background. The next day, while it would be my last for a long time out in the woods, started off rather perfectly. Instead of fly fishing, I did get my line in the water, but this time I let it float down to a small pool along the river to sit and hopefully draw in a trout while I cooked some breakfast. That morning was orange juice and a couple of croissants my mother apparently slipped into the ice chest in a bag. So instead of cooking, I got to eating and walking around a bit. I decided to see if I could find some animal tracks of whatever it was that was hanging around my campsite last night. So I walked around in a circle around my camp. I would say I was about 20 or so yards back from my site, at least. It was not until near the path that led to two other campsites further into the campground itself that I found, well, what I can only call impressions. You see, these were not tracks. Tracks, you know, are completely visible to the human eye. These were impressions at best. However, they were rather long impressions. I thought, well, bear, at first, as they are sometimes, they double step and makes one track look like a really big track, you know, with one front and one with the back paws coming together. But these looked a little different than what I'd seen 1,000 times with my mom and dad out there in those same forests of the Pacific Northwest. It took a bit of a stretch to see it, but I swear, at the time, I could make out what looked like a human footprint. But like I said, what I remember, it was a stretch to see it that way. What impressions I could make out seemed to lead towards my campsite from the edge of the river. They stopped about 10 yards in back of my sight, then head off back, off north, deeper into the campgrounds and forest. Maybe it was someone who was just out for a midnight walk, I thought. I was not completely alone out there, I thought to myself, and it seemed like there were at least a couple other campers about 100 yards or more south of me along the river. At least that's what I remember. I could hear them, and I clearly remember seeing them set up camp. So, even though I was in a remote area of the woods, I wasn't completely alone. Either way, if it was a person or a bear, that is what I decided it had to be. I went back to fishing the rest of the morning after that. Whoops and whistles from across the river started to come in. At first, I thought it was some guy, you know, my age, or some old perverts across the river whistling at a college girl. Of course, I never saw them. I just heard whistling, and even a whoop here and there. It sounded human. At least from where I was standing along the river, it did. I had decided earlier to pack a small, light lunch and walk down the river about a mile and do some fly fishing in a part of the river that was almost completely flat and placid, right before some small whitewater started. There were plenty of rafters that day. I would have known for sure if it was one of them making the sounds. These whistles and whoops came from across the river, up near the trail. Now thinking back to that day before, I started feeling a little weird. People hiking, a hike that should have taken at least a couple hours, came back within less than 20 minutes, and they looked to be in a hurry. Was there someone, or some bad or menacing people living out there, or just hanging out in that side of the river harassing people? And do they now want to harass me, I thought. Other questions started reeling through my mind while I was fishing, but it was not until I realized a few minutes later, when my brain slowed down, that I noticed that the whistles and whoops had stopped, and all was quiet again. I started casting my pole again, and a couple of river rafts floated around the bend. This time, it was two small families having fun blasting each other with large water cannons and laughing about it as they waved at me as they passed on by. The sounds disappeared, even those from across the river, and I soon felt safe and fine once again. The world was right as rain, I thought, and it was beautiful as well, as I took it all in while I continued to fish. I caught 3 that afternoon, all trout, all over 15 inches. I was stoked. I went for another short hike later in the day, about 1.5 miles up the river, this time to a rock outcropping that practically hung out over the river. From there, you could not see much as there was a bend to the left and right of me in the river, so my view was somewhat limited. However, I could see a small mountain, a couple directly ahead of me, across the river. Once every 30 minutes or so, people fishing in boats would float by and wave, and of course the river guides would wave at the girl a little more energetically as they came around the bend and took notice of me. There must have been people hanging out up the trail a bit, I thought. I could hear the muffled sound of voices from over there from time to time. Eventually, I come to believe they were not human voices. I figured they were people at first, just out of earshot, and that was the reason the voices sounded like a garbled mess. They were probably just too far away. But that's what I thought at that time. Now, looking back, my views have changed. The garbled sounds and mutterings seemed to me to be something else. What I believe, is a different language. Well, anyways, it was getting darker, and I was getting hungry. That second night would be fish again, but this time I had a pasta salad that my mom had made and thrown into a giant plastic bag for me. I listened to the radio to at least 11 p.m. After that, I decided to stoke the fire a bit and add a few logs to it. A little more light around camp for a little longer that evening. With all the little weird things that I had heard and noticed, I was not feeling fearful by any means, I remember. But I did want to be safe as possible, and animals, for the most part, hate fires. At least that's what I've been told, and I've read 100 times by that point. The crickets were chirping, so by the time I decided to turn in, everything, well, seemed fine. So, I climbed into the tent, I remember, turned the radio down to a volume I could almost not hear myself, and soon fell asleep. I did not know what time it was at that moment, but I knew it had to be at least somewhere around 3 a.m. when I heard the whoop sound again. This time, however, it came from the backside of my tent. It was close. Not more than 15 feet away. And that was not the worst part about hearing something so scary in the middle of the night. It was the fact that there came an answer in the form of a grunt of sorts from the opposite direction. Was someone playing a twisted joke on the lone woman camper, I thought. If so, it was not funny. Actually, it was just the opposite. I was starting to feel really scared. Whoever it was, I thought at the moment, started walking towards my tent from the back side. Big, heavy, whoever they were. They had to be to make the ground almost feel like it was vibrating as they approached my tent. They reached the back side and stopped for a second. All I could see was the ambient light that was there disappear, and I mean it went completely black behind the tent. I slowly started rolling over to get the bear spray and keys out of the side pocket of my backpack. Whoever it was going to feel the pain, I thought. If I had a gun, well, I probably would have just fired it off in the air to scare them off. But as I grabbed the keys and had my fingertips on the spray, that is when I found myself tumbling to the other side of the tent and smacking the back of my head on the ground hard. I was being dragged. It was not far. It felt like it was about 4 or 5 feet at most before I was dropped. Whoever it was dropped me, then walked off towards the river. I decided to not wait around for them to return, as I remember scrambling at that point for the keys that fell out of my hand. I knew I was close to my vehicle, so all I needed to do was get the keys, unzip the tent, and run the 15 feet or so to it. And fortunately, I left the car unlocked. Why would you lock it while you're out here anyways? I found the keys. I then found the zipper. I also found myself being dragged again from behind. This time, however, I crawled out of the tent and ended up rolling on the ground, scraping my knees and elbows pretty badly. But the pain would not even be noticed until later. For now, it was simply the feeling of fight or flight that took over. I scrambled to my feet and ran for the car. At that moment, in the middle of the running, I heard the most blood-curdling scream ever, well, almost ever, come from behind me. I kept running. These things, they were not people. Nobody can scream like that, not a human. I dove towards the car, opened the door and shut it, locking it behind me. I was terrified at that point, so getting the right key took a few seconds as my hands were shaking wildly. Finally, I got it. I put the key in the ignition, but before I turned the old Beetle over, I looked up and out the front window. I shouldn't have. It changed my life forever. I could not see hair, face, or any real features other than the stature and bulk of what was this Bigfoot standing in front of me. This thing was humongous, to say the least. I can tell you that this thing had to be 8 or 9 feet tall. Some people say Bigfoot has no real neck. I think I noticed a little bit of one, but I cannot be sure. Its arms were long, down around its knees, but unfortunately, because the firelight was almost all but gone, that was all I could make out. As I sat there long enough to get a look at the large figure with my neck cranked forward and up, there came a growl and then another scream to the left of the vehicle. This one louder, angrier, sounding than the last one, to tell you the truth. I could not see where the other creature was exactly, but with the volume of the scream that was just as deafening in the car with the windows rolled up as it would be outside, my gut started to tell me to get out and get out fast. I turned the car over, backed up a bit, then threw the thing in the first and peeled out, making skidding sounds as I hit the pavement. I was out of there, safe on the road and not looking back. I would not go back for anything, not even my books, which I would have to buy again. My only thought was at least I was alive. I still camp to this day. Call me courageous, nuts, or just call me someone who knows that something like that happening twice would be like getting struck by lightning. Well, like getting struck by lightning twice, probably. Of course, I'm a very cautious person, especially with my own family whenever we're out in the woods. Sometimes, even to a fault, like I said before, you can ask my two girls. They never get to go off alone when we go camping or hiking with Dad and Mom. Even today, and they are teenagers.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And we're back with expanded perspectives, some chilling tales, people out in the woods and their camping trips perhaps ruined. I had an excellent one, but, you know, that's something that I need to get into more, is I was surprised to find how many sightings and stuff happen while people are camping. I guess it makes sense. You're in the woods. Yeah. But also, at the same time, I have to admit that for a lot of people, sleeping out in the wilderness in just like a tent or something, they're not used to the sounds of the woods at night. And so, an overactive imagination, it might kind of play tricks on you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that none of these happened. I'm saying I am an experienced outdoorsman, and I've creeped myself out on than one occasion while out camping or hunting. And you'd be like, what is that? And you try to rationalize, like, oh, I think that's probably a red fox. And then you're like, yeah, but what if it's not? And then I can feel the angel and the devil on each shoulder, right? Like, that's probably just a sick donkey. You know, it's got laryngitis. Donkey's got laryngitis. And on the other side, you're like, you know, that's not real. Yeah. Is that a Sasquatch? And you're like, no.
Which is better? Is it better to lie to yourself and make yourself feel better? Because even once you've convinced yourself you didn't hear that, still in the back of your mind, you're like, but I really did.
Lying to yourself is way better. I think everybody would be severe depression if they didn't lie to themselves on a daily basis, including myself. So lying is always better to yourself.
Yeah, you're just like, I do not want to go over there and
see that.
Now,
kids, listen to this. Do not lie to your parents, but lying to yourself, it's okay.
Well, I still think it's hilarious that we view when we're camping that a micro thin sheet of nylon is going to keep us safe from what's out in the woods.
Yeah. So we weren't in a tent on this trip. We were in a cabin, but I was speaking to a guy there, and apparently there's a lot of black bears in that area. Yeah. And when I say a lot, he told me there was like 300 harvested there last year. And I'm like, that's a lot of black bears.
That's a lot of black bears.
So of course we're sitting around the fire and the kids are like, Dad, there's bears around here, right? And I'm like, oh yeah. And then they're like, well, they're not out now, right? And I'm like, no,
they're out right now.
They're probably hibernating. But then
you
and then,
missed the perfect chance to have fun with them.
Okay, so let me finish. I told them all that, and it's getting late. So at some point, all the kids go to bed. Mm. And so now it's just me and my brother-in-law. And we're sitting up there, and we're drinking a little whiskey and stuff, and it's getting later. He's like, man, I'm really tuckered out. I'm going to go to bed. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go to bed too in just a few minutes. I want to sit here and finish my drink or whatever. So he goes in. So now I'm out there all by myself, right? Now, I've been in the woods quite a bit in my time. I hear something coming through the woods and the leaves to my over my left shoulder, right? And I can hear it. And I can distinctly hear it. And I know it's approaching. So instantly, like I'm talking about, I'm like, huh, yeah, it's probably just like an armadillo or something. But then you start thinking about, huh, maybe it is a black bear. And I got my little black diamond headlamp that you got me. I clicked it on. And there's just this big dog.
Just out of nowhere?
Just
dog man.
And it kind of freezes when it sees my light hit it. And then it kind of just starts it keeps going down the hill. And I don't even know where it was going.
Did you decide to go to bed then?
But then I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to get to bed.
You're like, yeah, I'm good. I've had enough.
Because just a couple weeks ago, here near where we live, I saw that ginormous mountain lion that was hit and killed on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and all jokes aside, yeah, 140-pound cat, I mean, that could do some damage.
Yeah. A 4-pound cat could do some damage.
Right? Yeah.
Much less a biggin' like that. Don't you love it, though, that you can sit out there and really scare yourself? I think that's what's the most fun about it, too. You get that uneasy feeling. And then it starts snowballing. You know what I mean? Like, you're like a little bit like, oh, what was that? Oh, it's nothing. And you hear something like, oh, but was it something? And then your head turns into a haunted house almost instantly. It
doesn't even have to be cryptid. You're like, extraterrestrials could be coming for me. Who knows what? I don't have any guns with me.
I would have given anything if I would have been able to have like an ultra quiet drone to fly over at that point and then just out of the blue just drop like a blue light around you. Just
oh, jeez. Yeah.
Where it looks like fire in the sky, the light that hits you while you're sitting there.
Yeah, that would not be good.
You just evacuate right in your pants while you're sitting out there.
Yeah, so if anyone listening to us, you'd be like, you're immune to being scared because of all the stories you tell. No. It's in fact worse. There's so many things I know of now that I was not aware of before we started this show that it's way worse.
That I wish I could sometimes get out the Men in Black pen and just blank myself and then be like, all right, I'm good.
There's more than a few occasions in my life I wish I could have used that.
And there's some occasions in my life I think it was used on me. I've woken up the next morning and been like, I don't remember any of that.
Yeah. So what did you do over spring break?
Man, oh man. Besides the fact of, like I was telling you, is dealing with getting everything together for my daughter, for her prom coming up and her graduation, right, and then her stuff because she's got my niece is getting married in a few weeks and she's in the wedding. So we've got a bunch of that stuff going on. Then my mother had shoulder surgery. So I was dealing with all that with her in the rehab center and getting her out of rehab and getting her back to her house and settled in. It was one of those things that there was no rest for the wicked. It was every day was something going on. And so, yeah, we've been busy, busy. I'm ready for it. We always say this. You're ready for your busy to get into your normal busy schedule, you know, not outside busyness, your normal just routine schedule. And then this being the last year that I'm going to have a child in school is really, really strange. Like, it's over. Like, this is it. In the next couple of months, she's done. Yeah. She's in college doing her thing. I'm like, it's really odd to have that feeling to been like, Well, like I was already asking you, I'm like, when's the blood play close? Because I'm going to have to come watch some baseball because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't know. I think we might have a tournament in Arlington. That's probably the closest.
That'd be good. I'll be over there for sure.
We might have one in Alito. I'm not sure. No, I'd have to look at the schedule. But we had a really good time on spring break. I'm definitely going to be going back to Broken Bow, Oklahoma. If you haven't been up there and you live close to that area and you'd like to do some trout fishing, we had a good time. So yeah. Check it out. Before we get out of here, let's talk about our sponsors. And don't forget about the podcast that I mentioned in the beginning of the show, Unexplained Mysteries. Go over to iTunes or wherever and check them out. You're really going to like that show. Also, Audible. Go to audible.com/expanded and stamps.com. When you go over to the homepage, click on that microphone and enter the word expanded. Also with Audible, don't forget you can also text expanded to 500-500. What else you got going on this week, Brad?
Man, just we've done some stuff at work. Like I talked about, we've been busy. It's finally paid off. Everything is smoothed out. My week will be smooth as glass the rest of this week. So looking forward to a nice, I wouldn't say easy, but a nice consistent week. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, that's good. I've got more continuing education I got to deal with. And every time I take a vacation, that first couple days getting back, it's hard to get back into the swing of things. I know Luke looked really bummed out when he had to go to school this morning. He's like, I hate school. Yeah. And I was like, I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Just a few more weeks,
bro. You're in kindergarten, bro. You got a long time. If you're already hating it now, if you hate coloring, you're really going to hate algebra. So just get used to it. All right, folks, that's all the time we have for this show. Be safe out there. For the Pretty Lights, Inner Tradition Books, New Page Books, Llewellyn Books, Anomalist Books, and Ancient American Magazine, I'm Kyle Filson. He's Cam Hale.
Peace, y'all.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loan subject to approval in available locations.